Would you give a warm welcome to Wade and then to Katie McHarg tonight?
Praise the Lord. Amen. I felt led to share a testimony just about preparing the heart for worship and coming with expectation, amen, into the presence of God. And I've ministered now 4 years on Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in South Dakota, and through that I've been able to come to appreciate and to really be blessed by a friendship of a man named George Otis Jr. I don't know if you know George Otis, but he did these transformational videos. Anybody familiar with the transformational videos? Okay, more of you need to raise your hands. You really need to get your hands on these. I'm dead serious. You need to add them to your library, into your home. They're called transformations. And you can see the first one on YouTube, but the rest of them, the other one, I know you have to get online, but I really recommend you buy both of them and just have them and pass them around, because I really believe that's what God's doing in Cloquet. But what George Otis has done, and now he's now connected to IHOP. He's now a part of, he was invited personally by Mike Bickle down there to begin to head up the media team. Anyways, he travels around the world and he documents where communities are so seeking the face of God that God is transforming the entire community. And there is one down, especially in Guatemala, that is so tremendous. This area that the people were given over to alcoholism, I mean, all kinds of debauchery, and the Lord has powerfully moved into an entire community that now, like, almost the entire area is born again believers in Christ. And it's so transformed, all the jails shut down. All alcoholism has been removed, and now God has so blessed the vegetation that America is sending workers down there to find out how they are farming, because they're producing carrots the size of my forearm. I'm not exaggerating. You need to see it for yourself. It's incredible. There's one, especially the second one, where there's a visitation up in Canada. The power of God falls in the midst of an Inuit community called Pond Inlet, way up there in the Arctic Circle, and the glory of God comes, and it physically shakes the building, and they had a tape recorder recording it as it was happening. I'm telling you, you'll get goosebumps just watching this. But anyways, I was talking to George was sharing testimonies, and I've been so blessed by his ministry, and he was sharing a testimony that he heard about in Brazil, where they were worshiping the Lord. Especially these men, I think pastors and church leaders, will go into that inner part of a forested area. He heard this testimony, and as they're seeking God, that actually it's like a canopy of trees, and they'll actually the trees and the brush around them begins to glow in the night under the presence of God. George went down to Brazil, and he said, "Listen, I've heard these testimonies. Do you know anything about it?" And the man says, I'm a part of that. I can take you there myself. So George says, "I'm going." He said that they go into this forested area and they begin to walk into this area, into a forest, and they keep walking and they're fellowshipping. And then the man, he said, turned to him and said to the group, "Now we don't talk anymore." He said it was just quiet, and they kept going further into the forest. And then the man, I guess about near a termite mound, he said, "Now let's take off our shoes." And George said, as they went even further in with his shoes off, the presence of God kept getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Finally, they came into this area. It was a canopy. And he said that they got down on their faces and they began to pray and seek the face of the Lord. And George said that he thought it was 15 minutes had gone by. That was it. He felt a tap on his shoulder, and the man whispered, "It's happening." And he opened his eyes, and it was all glowing. Come on. All creation responds to the glory of God. And he said he looked at his watch, and an hour had gone by. thought it was 15 minutes. So I just want to encourage you, when you come to worship the Lord, come with a heart that's prepared. Amen. A heart that's hungry and expectant. And the Lord is able to meet us, and it will take us to a deeper place of intimacy with him. But it's a holy place. Last night, I want to share something briefly before I introduce my amazing wife here. And she's got a specific, powerful word from the Lord. Those who were here last night or at Journey, what's the Hebrew word for disciple? Who can shout it out? Talmid. And the plural of that is Talmidim. And we talked about what it means to be a Talmid, a disciple of Jesus, in the Hebrew context. And that's not the Greek model that often is portrayed by us in our Western churches. And so when we wrap up on Thursday night in Grace, I want to continue with this issue of discipleship. I just want to share something very briefly as before I introduce my wife concerning what it means to be a disciple. And I just want to rattle this off tonight to you and to challenge you to meditate and think about this later on. I say that I believe that the first thing that's a priority for the disciple, according to Mark chapter 3, it says this. Concerning Jesus appointing the apostles, it says, then he appointed 12 in Mark chapter 3, verse 14. And the first thing we see is that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. I want to encourage you tonight. You're a disciple of Jesus Christ. Your first priority, if you're a disciple of Jesus, is to be with him. You can't give what you don't have. And so you need to spend time with the master. And I challenged you last time about what that means, that we want to imitate and emulate Jesus in every way. And so the first priority for us as disciples, if you're going to say, I'm a disciple of Jesus, which you are, if you're a follower of his, then your first priority is to be with him. And Jesus said, when you pray, you go into the secret place. And your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. Amen. So that comes number one. I just want to encourage you tonight. Let's get along with Jesus. Let's spend time with him. Let's press in and sit at his feet and receive revelation and what he has called us to do and to be in him. Second of all, if we're to be followers of Jesus, John chapter 8, verse 31, what does it say? If you remain in my what? In my word, you are truly my disciples. If we are truly followers of Jesus Christ, we are going to remain in this word. Jesus is the word of God, according to John chapter 1 and Revelation 19. Amen. I challenge you, yesterday we talked about how that brother went over into the Jewish school of Judaism and a rabbi from Judaism got up, knew there was one Christian in his midst, and said out loud to everyone, if you say you're a follower of Yeshua, a disciple of Jesus, and you're not reading the Gospels once a month, then you're no follower of Jesus Christ. And I said, now I'm not saying that's like some kind of a rule that we're all to follow, but I challenge you even for a month to read Matthew 1 week, Mark the next, Luke the next, and John the next, and just keep falling in love and getting to know who is your master. How does he act? How does he interact? How does he deal with these situations? And as you're reading and say, Jesus, I want to be just like you. I want to do just like what you're doing here. Because he says in John 20, as a father has sent me, amen, so I send you. So we are called to be like Jesus. I want to encourage you, get in the word and let the word get in you. Keep it your meditation and keep asking Jesus through the Gospels to reveal himself to you and say, I want to be just like you. And you're going to find yourself in situations and you're going to remember the word of the Lord and you're going to act upon it. So number one, to be disciples of Jesus, we are to be with him. Number two, we are to remain in his word. Number three, if we're disciples of Jesus, in Luke 9:23, it says, if anyone will follow me, what? He must deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. If we're truly disciples of Jesus, our lives are marked by self-denial. Can I get an amen to that? That is how we are called. That's how people will know that we're the disciples of Jesus Christ, that we live a life of self-denial, that when we are given the opportunity to choose our own way or to prefer someone else above ourselves, we choose that way because that's the way of self-denial. This is the mark of a disciple of Jesus Christ. Number three, the mark of a disciple of Jesus in John 13 is a very familiar verse that you know. Jesus says, "A new command I give you, that you what? That you love one another." And it says, "By this, amen, all will know that you're my disciples." And so we are called to be people of love, a people baptized with the love of God. And that according to Ephesians 3, we find that it's an apostolic prayer that we should be praying in our lives, that we would know the height, the depth, the breadth, and the length of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Amen. It's beyond comprehension. It's beyond our knowledge. It's a supernatural love that fills our hearts. So this is the mark of a disciple of Jesus Christ. They're full of love. And can I submit to you the last one of a mark of a disciple of Jesus Christ, according to John 15, is that we will be known as people that will be persecuted. We should be marked by those that are receiving persecution. And of course, we respond differently than the world responds. We don't go on Facebook and start rants. Come on. We don't get into a bunch of arguments about political things. We are known that as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And we bless those who curse us. Amen. And we love our enemies and we do good to those who hate us. And we pray for those who despitefully use us and persecute us. So this is the mark of a disciple of Jesus Christ. And when I finish on Thursday, by God's grace, I want to talk about 10 specific things I want to challenge the church that we should be addressing in the area of discipleship. And cover those very quickly and very briefly. But I pray that they're a challenge and encouragement. So I want to leave with you that tonight. And I'm honored to introduce my wife. We'll be married 20 years in March. And we've been blessed. Amen. Praise God. And we have been incredibly graced with three amazing kids, Abigail, Deborah, Caleb, Isaiah, and Josiah Daniel. And they are mighty, mighty warriors for the Lord who love Jesus in a powerful way. And that's a tremendous testimony, I believe, to God's grace and also to my wife for her mothering them. In fact, my wife is just finished a book, and it should be coming out in the beginning of 2017. It's called Captured by Love and Passing It On to the Next Generation. And she can write that because that's what our kids are full of love. Our kids are full of joy. Our kids understand the presence of the Lord and they move in power. I love that. I mean, I still remember coming back and going to our home church in Charlotte, and we were it's called Steel Creek, and it's about 2,500 member church, and big, you know, a lot of people, and my son tapping me at the end of the message, "Dad, God's telling me to go pray for that woman." And it was some woman I'd never met before on the other side of the church. And I said, "Well, just hold on. Let's finish the altar call and then you can go pray." And to my shame, I forgot, but not my son. She was making her way out with her grandchild out the back door, and my son went after her and grabbed her in the back of the church and said, "Is there anything that I can pray for you?" And she said, "Well, yes." You know, as a matter of fact, and she had issues with her pain in her chest and her lung breathing, and this had been a thing that had been really plaguing and really afflicting her. And he just laid hands on her and said, "Jesus, heal her." And that was a really simple prayer. And she thought, "Well, what a nice thing to do." And she got out to the foyer and she took a deep breath and she realized everything was gone and she was completely healed and began to weep and cry, came back inside the church looking for my son. And he was already up towards me, and she came up after him weeping and crying, and who's your parents, came over to me. She starts sharing. I start crying, and then Caleb's standing there, and she says, I want to thank you. you know, my son didn't miss a beat and said, just give glory to God and go and testify what he's done in your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that's, amen. That's the kind of person that my wife is anxious. She's like, come on, give me the mic. So,
no, it's okay.
Anyways, I want to pray a blessing over her and I can watch out for a few. And she's the real deal. You know, 7 years in Africa, I saw her live like an African, draw water every day from a 70-foot well, carry things on her head, and wash our clothes on a washboard. And she's the real deal. So I know you're going to be blessed tonight, what she's going to share. So let's pray together and ask God's blessing on this time. Praise the Lord.
It's okay.
Father, we just glorify you and we thank you for what you're doing in the earth. We thank you that you're no respecter of persons. You're looking for hungry souls, hungry hearts that are not content, as we just sang, with the things of this world. We can't be satisfied with the things of this world, God. You're the only one that satisfies us. We think of the old hymn, all that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is all the world to me. God, we say that to you tonight. You have our affection. We want you to look on this place, God, this holy assembly, and to be able to say, I am their first love. That's our desire, God. Not that you would rebuke us, to say repent and remember the height that you fell from. No, Lord, but you would say I am the object of their affection. I am the apple of their eye. I am first in their lives. So, Lord, we just welcome you to increase your presence in this place right now, God.
Yes.
We ask, Lord, for an encounter. We ask for revelation, a spirit of wisdom and revelation to be released in the knowledge of you,
Jesus,
and your will for our lives.
Thank you, God.
That you would enlighten the eyes of our hearts, God, to the hope of your calling and the glorious inheritance of the saints, and to know the exceeding greatness of your power towards us who believe. We ask, Lord, for your anointing. But Lord, we don't want the anointing to end of itself. We want the anointing to lead us to the glory. And that's our prayer, God. Show us your glory.
Amen.
And I just pray your blessing on my wife, that you would articulate yourself, Lord, through her, and that, Lord, we would all have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Mm-hmm. And we would respond with obedient hearts. So we bless you, God, and we bless everyone here tonight, and we thank you in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, sweetie. Thank you, Wade. That was sweet. Thank you, honey. It's always hard to follow Wade. Can you imagine? I mean, you guys, thank you so much. I feel so blessed and honored and humbled to be here tonight, honestly. I don't often get to travel with Wade and speak most of the time. 99% of the time I'm at home with the kids. But I'd love to be able to do it. Do you guys feel like this is too loud? Is it okay? Okay. So tonight I want to talk to you about the glorious end time church. You know, my heart, I've been a missionary most of my adult life. So either we've been in full-time ministry now. I've been in full-time ministry 21 years of my life. And I got my start. Did I hear there's YWAMers in the house? Or are they coming? Are the YWAMers coming? Okay. So Wade and I got our start in YWAM 21 years ago. And we went to Africa together on a team. And the rest is history. You guys get to hear that tomorrow night. So pretty incredible testimony. But we've been in ministry all these years. And, you know, over the last couple years, I don't know if the rest of you have noticed it, but I feel like things are accelerating on the earth, right? Things are accelerating. And Jesus said that at the end of the age, he said, the wheat and the tares are going to grow up together at full maturity at the harvest. So wickedness and light are going to be coming to full maturity at the end of the age at the very same moment in time. You know, people say a lot, are things going to get better at the end of the age, or are things going to get worse? There's a doctrine that I keep hearing about where people say that it's just going to get brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. Eventually, the church is just going to take over the earth. Well, I'm very sorry, but that's not biblical. It's just not a biblical doctrine. But I hear it a lot in America today. And I feel like the danger of that doctrine is that when things get worse on the earth, when wickedness comes to full maturity, there's going to be a lot of heartbroken, a lot of disillusioned believers walking around wondering, where are you, God? But God is exactly where he said he was in Revelation 4. He is on the throne, right where he always will be. He is totally in control. And so, you know, we are living, you guys, I feel like, in one of the most unique, exciting times in human history. Just about 2 months ago, I heard Lauren Cunningham speak to IHOP Kansas City. Did anyone else hear that? Do you know who Lauren Cunningham is? Okay. So Lauren Cunningham is the elder founder of Youth with a Mission, which is the largest mission agency on the earth today. They are the only mission agency on the earth that is in every single country on the earth, including North Korea. They have a bread factory in the heart of North Korea. In fact, family members of our relatives of ours help with that. And so Lauren Cunningham is the only man alive that I know of that has actually preached the gospel in every country in the world. And he heads up, like I said, the largest mission agency in the world. And I heard him speak. And when he spoke, my heart was just exploding inside of me. Because he said that YWAM, Youth with a Mission, as well as Campus Crusade for Christ, the Southern Baptist, Wycliffe, and Frontier Missions, which are the five largest mission agencies on the face of the earth, which are all global ministries, have partnered together with the largest prayer movement in the history of the world, IHOP, which is a global prayer movement, 24/7, to pray in the end time harvest. And we are down to the last 506 unreached people groups on the face of the earth. I don't know if that moves anyone else's heart, but that moves my heart so deeply, because I've given my life to the Great Commission. You guys, we get to be a part of the generation that sees Matthew 24:14 fulfilled in our lifetime. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed through the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and the end will come. Lauren Cunningham stood up and made a commitment with IHOP Kansas City, IHOP Global. Lauren, not just YWAM, but like I said, Campus Crusade, Southern Baptist, Wycliffe, and Frontier Missions, they have partnered together to bring the gospel to the last 506 unreached people groups by the year 2020. They want to have a beachhead presence in every tribe, tongue, and nation on the face of the earth, at least a beachhead presence. So it is very probable that scripture alone should be a wake-up call to all of us that Jesus said, when this happens, the end will come. Nobody knows when the end is going to come. But scripture is very clear. There are signs of the times, aren't there? And we're seeing it, I believe, in our generation. I think we are seeing every sign of the time outlined clearly in many passages of scripture of the last days. So very, very fast, in 2 Timothy 3, I'm not going to read the whole passage, but I'm going to read to you the 22 signs describing the generation before the Lord returns. Jesus said, or I'm sorry, Paul said, these are going to be perilous times, dangerous times. Men will be lovers of themselves. Oh, wait a second. I forgot to take a selfie. Can we just take one right now? Because I just wanted to make sure that I got a picture of myself preaching to all of you. Okay, you get my point, right? So So men said that they're going to be lovers of ourselves, right? Or Paul said that. God says that we're going to be lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of what is good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, always learning, never able, though, to come to the knowledge of the truth. And finally, the 22nd characteristic is that they were, this generation, we marked by people who resist the truth. You know, as I meditated on 1 Timothy, I thought of June 26, 2015. Can anyone tell me what happened? It's a day that's going to go down in infamy, I believe. It was the day that our Supreme Court legalized homosexual marriage. And if that doesn't break your heart, listen, I love all homosexuals. I love people. Wade can tell you. I'm very close. I have a very, very, very close homosexual friend. I mean, I spend a lot of time praying for him. But that day ushered in, I think, a new level of a pornification of our culture and a normalization of immorality in our country. And I believe that it's just opened the doorway, right? It's just opened up a door for the homosexual agenda to affect our children in the school system. I don't know what it's like here in this state. You know, I can only speak to the states I'm familiar with. But legislation being opening up the door for children now to make this a normal behavior and calling evil good and good evil. And so it's just one more picture in my mind that clearly we are heading into the last days. Jesus spoke to us in Luke 21 as a prophet and as a pastor, okay? And he encouraged us to be strong and to be an overcomer in the last days. Jesus prophesied that distressing events preceding his return would come as a snare upon the entire earth to test the hearts of all people. He called his people to be strengthened to escape the snare of sin and fear and to stand in victory. And he warned us not to allow our hearts to be weighed down. And he gave pastoral exhortations to take heed to ourselves and to watch and pray. I'm not going to read the whole part because there's so much to cover, but I'm going to read a few verses. Verse 25, Luke 21. There will be on the earth distress of nations. Listen, Jesus said that the intensity, in other words, of distress is going to continue to increase until the end. We're not going back to the 80s, you guys. We're not going back to the 90s. We're not going to be going back to the year 2000. It's not going to get easier. Jesus said the wheat and the tares are growing up together to full maturity until the end of the harvest, right? So Jesus said to us that in verse 26, men's hearts will fail them from fear. But he said in verse 28, when these things begin to happen, look up, lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. Listen, some people on the earth will be fainting with fear. Things will be getting bad. And we've seen it in the Middle East with ISIS. We've seen different people. I'm sure many of the Christians' hearts, I'm sure many people were feeling a lot of fear. Okay, but other people, Jesus said, are going to be filled with faith. Okay, so we're to look up to Jesus, to King Jesus, okay, instead of only looking out at the growing distresses on the face of the earth. So this is just, God just put this on my heart to exhort you in love, because Jesus did that, right? He exhorted us in love. We need to keep our eyes so locked on the throne of God and realize in these end times, Jesus is on that sapphire throne. He is wrapped in a rainbow, which is a symbol of his covenant of mercy to us, right? He has his jasper and his sardius body. Just symbol, I could go on and on. I won't go there. But God is amazing. He is on the throne. Verse 32, Jesus said, "This generation will by no means pass away till all things take place." Verse 34, "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day it will come upon you unexpectedly." Jesus said that on the earth, there's going to be snares. Jesus describes it like a snare. He says in verse 35, it'll come as a snare upon all who dwell on the face of the earth. In biblical time, a snare or a trap was something that they used to trap animals because they didn't have guns, right? So they would trap an animal with a snare. An baited snare was something that people would hide to lure prey into a trap, and it was designed to hold its prey and make it almost impossible to get out. So Jesus said that things were going to get bad. It would come as a snare to all the people who dwell on the whole earth, okay? And it said that it's going to get bad, so much so that people are going to fall into carousing, or in other words, sexual indulgence for relief of stress, drugs, living for pleasure. So it's just really important we guard our hearts. We guard our hearts against what we go to for comfort when the stresses of life come, when it gets really dark. What do you run to comfort you? Are you running to some kind of an immoral sexual indulgence? Are you running to the internet? Are you running to numb out in front of something? Are you running to drugs? Just guard your heart, right? That we run to the one who sits on the throne. Jesus said that people will fall into drunkenness. Many people will escape their pain and pressure by finding comfort in mind-altering substances rather than seeking freedom. And people will fall into three emotional spheres, so carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of life. Many people on the earth are going to be coming overcome by anxiety, leading to bitterness in the last days. But Jesus said to us, verse 36, "Watch and pray always that you may be counted worthy to have strength to escape all of these things, to stand before the Son of Man." I often see people who watch, okay? I see people who watch a lot. They can tell you exactly what's going on in politics, on the earth, the latest news. They're just watchers, but they don't pray, okay? They can tell you anything going on, but they're not praying about it. I see some people who pray, but they don't watch. Jesus said, "Watch and pray, so you will be able to escape the snare coming on the whole earth." And I think that's just incredibly important. Incredibly important. So take heed to yourselves. As the Lord said, he said, "Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down. Watch and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all of these things and stand before the Son of Man." Make it a priority to access God's grace made available to you in Christ. Defilement of your heart will be far more dangerous than any form of external distress going on in the nations at the end of the age. Have strength. Listen, don't be weighed down. In other words, a weighed down heart, a heart weighed down, I'm sure we've all experienced a heart weighed down with lust, a heart weighed down with fear, a heart weighed down with anxiety, right? It's a heart that's unresponsive to the Holy Spirit, isn't it? What we do with our body greatly affects the spiritual conditions in our heart, doesn't it? Whether it's drunkenness or immorality, these things cause us to lose godly perspective, courage, and motivation to follow God. So believers stand in victory as overcomers rather than falling into sin. Choose to watch, and like Wade was saying, pray. Get on your face and love God. He's in control. That's the good news. He is in control. So Jesus said, truly I say to you, in Matthew 24:30, he said, truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all of these things take place. So he says, when you begin to see these things happening, no, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. So when I heard Lauren Cunningham talk about how by 2020, he wanted to give a Christmas gift to Jesus, there would be a beachhead presence in every last tribe, tongue, language on the face of the earth. And then I see all the signs of the time. I think there might be some people in here today that will see the return of Christ. I don't know. None of us know. Okay, it says a generation in Genesis, the first mention of a generation is 100 years. All I know is that we're the first generation in the history of the world seeing all of these things take place. So, what does the glorious end time church then look like? Right? Because we have an incredibly valuable role on the face of the earth today. Revelation 22:17, I love, because it says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty say, come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. The end time church, first of all, is going to be lined up fully with the Holy Spirit. Right? The Spirit and the bride together in perfect unity are crying out, come. Just as women see themselves, you guys, as sons of God, you men, you need to see yourself as the bride of Christ, right? The end time church has to have a bridal identity, you guys. We've got to have a bridal identity, because love lessens the blows of life, doesn't it? When we know that we're in love, we can do anything, can't we? I would do anything for Wade. I would die for him. He would die for me. I love him. Why? We've been through some hard times together. Love is a beautiful buffer to the nasty stuff in life. And that is why I believe we need to have a bridal identity. As the church. In fact, during worship tonight, I almost started crying. As you can see, I'm kind of an emotional person. But I started to just almost cry because I was hearing all your voices, and it was so beautiful. And I thought, the bride of Cloquet is so beautiful. The bride of Cloquet is so powerful and so beautiful. And I get to hear them, and I love that. I love that. What a woman would do for love, she would never do for any other reason. I think that's true of men, too. So let's get the bridal heart of God. Love releases the grace to obey. God said in Isaiah, I, the Lord your God, your maker, I'm your husband. The bridal heart gives wives the grace to obey, doesn't it? It really does when our husbands are being difficult. It does. We do it for Jesus' sake and for love's sake. Philippians 2, 1 through 16, Wade touched on it a tiny bit, but it's so critical. Just the last 6 months with the election, with everything, I've seen an increase in backbiting and mean-spiritedness that I've never seen before in my lifetime. But the end-time glorious church must be marked by Philippians 2. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Holy Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out, not to your own interests, but for the interests of others. Remember that Jesus said, in Timothy, it said that in the last days, men would only be lovers of themselves. But see, the glorious end time church will come in the opposite spirit. We're not going to look out for our own interests. We will prefer others over ourselves. And moms and dads, we have to ingrain this in our children. It starts at home when they're itty, itty, bitty, right? You prefer your brother over yourself or your sister over yourself. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of man, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Verse 14, do all things without complaining or disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you will shine as lights in the world. When we obey Philippians 2, we are going to be so different from the rest of the world at the end of the age. And now in this generation, I'm telling you, we just are going to shine like stars. We really are. We really are. Isaiah 60, very quickly, verse 1 and 2. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and a deep darkness shall cover the people. But the Lord will arise over you. Amen. And his glory will be seen upon you. Of course, we all know Joel too, don't we? About young men prophesying, dreaming dreams, having visions. And that is all going to come to pass. The end time church is going to walk in the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit like no other church in the history of the world. I really believe that. I believe that the wickedness on the earth coupled with God's power and glory at the end of the age is going to create the perfect situation to bring about people's hearts fully, fully resting in love for God. It's the first and the greatest commandment will reach preeminence in the church finally. Jesus said, the first and the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Holy Spirit always wants that commandment to become preeminent in the church, in the bride. So at the end of the age, the conditions are going to be perfect to bring us to full maturity in that way. I really believe that. We can see a glimmer of that right now in Iran. One of the darkest places on the face of the earth. And it's the greatest revival that's happening right now on the earth. Iran, I just read Fox News today said, is 10% Christian now. 10% Christian. They are baptizing Muslims so much. It's awesome. Honey, was it Smith Wigglesworth who said that the enemy will be able to do miracles, but he won't be able to replicate the gifts? Anyway, Someone said that. I really believe that. The enemy, you know, guys, he's always going to be able to duplicate the miracles, but he's not going to be able to duplicate fruit of the Spirit, right? So we need to be walking in love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control. So when everything's going crazy, we're rocks. We've got our eyes. Jesus said, look up, right? Keep your eyes on me, right? In Revelation 4, Jesus said, behold, a door. John said he heard an angel, say, behold, a door. And then it said, behold, a throne a little bit later on, right? And so often today, we behold a tragedy, right? But if we keep our eyes fixed on the throne of God, it centers us. So, as I was thinking about this message, I thought of Habakkuk 2:14, just jumped into my spirit. I'm going to read it for you. In closing, it said, For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as water covers the sea. And I thought and I thought and thought and thought about that. What it doesn't say is the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. That's not what it says. It says the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as water fills the sea. How does that happen? See, I'm a missionary, you guys, at heart. And it only happens through missions. It only happens as we share the gospel. Have you guys been to the ocean? Who here has been to the ocean? Okay, whoa, lots of you. You know, Wade grew up on the ocean. We've been to the ocean tons of times. We lived on the ocean in Africa. And one of my favorite places, the ocean, is Cayman Islands. And has anyone been there? Cayman? Oh, you gotta go. Men, just take your wives there, right, honey? It's amazing. So, crazy, crazy thing about Cayman Islands is you can get on a boat and go out way, way deep into the ocean. And it's only like this deep because it's this huge sandbar. So the glory of the Lord, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as water covers the sea. In some places, it's not going to be very deep. In other places, like in some places in the ocean, it's miles deep. You, the bride of Cloquet, are responsible for your region of this world, okay? How deep is the knowledge of the glory of the Lord going to be in the end times, right? How deep is it going to be as water covers the earth? How deep will it be here? You take responsibility for that, okay? And I was praying, and I am telling you guys, I got the Spirit of God just fell on me while I was thinking about Habakkuk 2. My heart just got broken over Minnesota, over the Somalians who live in the Twin Cities. Do you guys even know what God has brought to your doorstep? God has brought 200,000 Muslim refugees to your state, 2 hours away, which is about how far Wade and I travel to minister on Pine Ridge. So it is possible. And I just want to read to you some facts that I read about where you live. 200,000 Muslims live in Minneapolis, St. Paul. Half of these are Somali. 15,000 to 37,000 Muslims live in other regions of Minnesota, with the most significant population including St. Cloud, Rochester, Fargo, Moorhead, Wilmar, and Mankato. Every single year, 6,500 new Muslim refugees arrive in your state as immigrants. 132 mosques have gone up now in the Twin Cities. 100 languages are spoken in the Phillips neighborhood alone, which is a neighborhood in Minneapolis. I don't know where it is, but you guys need to find out where it is. It is the most diverse neighborhood in America, right here in your state. There are Somalis, Iraqis, Pakistanis, Oromos, Ethiopians, North Africans, Tunisians, Algerians, Middle Eastern people, including Saudis, Yemenis, and Gulf Arabs, Asians, Indians, Egyptians, Iranians, Indonesians, Turks, Afghanis, and Hui people, all living in the Twin Cities, 2 hours from you, 2 hours. And so when I was preparing this message, I am telling you that God wanted me to offer you a challenge. And I ran this by Wade, and he was in full agreement. You guys need to think of a way to reach these people, at least a little. And I challenge you with that in love, as a missionary, okay? As a missionary, my heart is for missions. I love Africans. I love Somali people. It's not as scary as you think. I lived among Muslims in Africa 7 years. I love them. They're very lovable. No, okay, not always. But but by the power of God, right? We can love them. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you just like love them, all right? And so my challenge to you, I envisioned this, okay? As I was crying out to God and praying, I just saw you guys. I don't know who. I don't know what church. I don't know who among you, but somebody, I believe, God's calling to organize, like at Easter time, a Jesus film in Somali, distribution, gift bag, beautiful gifts for go target a neighborhood. Maybe it's the Phillips neighborhood. Maybe it's not. Pray about it. You know, there's tons of resources online. But I just challenge you with that to close, because God's heart is that the gospel would go to the whole earth. Jesus said, I just have one more last thing, and then I'm going to let Wade close me up. Jesus said, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, didn't he? And I just have a short testimony about that. When IHOP, International House of Prayer, gathered the top leaders of IHOP, the top leaders of YWAM, a couple of them cloistered together to cry out and pray for the heart of God. They locked themselves in with fasting. And two of the main leaders were crying out in prayer on their face, and both of them heard the audible voice of God. The first man got up off the floor. I can't remember his name, but he's the leader of IHOP Kansas City. YWAM Kansas City. He got up off the floor and he said, and he was shaking because he'd heard the audible voice of God the first time in his life. And God said to him, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, or it's not my house. And then there was his wife of 50 years on the floor, trembling. He could see her shaking and vibrating under the power of God. And he knew that was not normal. She never did that. He'd never seen her do that. She got up 20 minutes later, and she looked at him, and she said, I heard the audible voice of God. He said, what did he say? And she said, he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, or it's not my house. God's heart is for the whole world, and God has brought the whole world to Minnesota. And so I challenge you tonight, do something. Do you know that a fourth of the terrorists that inflict attacks on our nation come from Minnesota, including the one yesterday? Couldn't believe it. I just prepared this message. I read the headline this morning. That guy who shot people up in Ohio State or did whatever he did with knives was a Somali refugee. Men, you can do this. Come on, right? Love them to Jesus. Reach some of them. Reach some of them. They're trying to please their God, but they don't know that he already died for them. So that's how I just want to close. You guys are a beautiful bride. I love being here. Thank you so much for letting me share my heart. I really felt like tonight, and maybe it's some of the young people, I don't know, but I really felt as I was praying, God might be calling some of you or somebody here, maybe a few of you, to be a part of that end time harvest those last unreached people groups on the face of the earth. And if that's you, you know, seek somebody out, Wade or I, maybe Pastor. Make a step. When I was a young person, I came to a meeting. I felt a call, a missionary call, and that's what led me to the Muslim world. I know I'm a believer in that, of making a step of faith. Listen, nobody would have ever thought this girl from Dayton, Ohio, who hates camping, would ever go live in a mud hut in Africa, carry water on my head, babies on my back, pull all my water, wash all my clothes on a scrub board. But you know what? When love comes, it's a buffer, right? When you fall in love, it doesn't matter. You do anything for love. And so that's my heart tonight. Honey, did you want to?
We could just have a time of just prayer together, amen? That's how we respond now to the word of the Lord.
I don't know, they said the worship team had.
Yep. Yeah, they're going to worship even while we respond.
Yeah.
Pastor Mike said that. So I just want to encourage right now, let's just take a moment to personally begin to engage the Lord right now. Let's just bow our head and close our eyes. And the wonderful thing about our King is that he's hearing all of us right now at the exact same time. He responds to faith. He responds to faith. And he responds to surrender. I tell people, especially young people, that when we really come to the place to say, God, wherever, whenever, however, I am yours. You can do with me whatever you desire. I hold nothing back from you, God. Hold nothing back from me. And I believe with all my heart, when there's a heart that sincerely prays that, God answers. So I want to encourage all of us right now, let's begin to invite, even as Pastor Mike said, we have the ability to hear the voice of God. My sheep hear my voice, and they will not follow another. And so we have the awesome privilege to hear the voice of the Lord. And I believe, as one man said, when asked, how do you hear the voice of God? He said, if you have the intention to obey what God will say to you before he speaks, you will never lack in hearing the voice of God. I'm going to say that again. If you have the intention to obey what the Lord will tell you before he speaks, you will never lack in hearing the voice of God. And so right now, with hearts of obedience, I just want to encourage you, friend. Maybe there's a new thing the Lord is calling you to. And you have the awesome privilege of saying yes and getting ready to go on the most amazing journey. There's nothing more exciting than walking with God. I'm going to tell you what. You get to see some really cool stuff. And you're never the same again. And when you get the heart of God, friend, sometimes you will wonder if your body can take any more. You'll begin to experience a measure of his presence that is overwhelming. And it's meant to flow freely from you to those around you. And you will carry his presence, and those who you come in contact with, they will encounter God through you, his body. So let's just begin to talk to the Lord right now. What is it? What is it, Father? What are you calling me to do? Because the nations are here in Minnesota. And this is an opportunity to see the nations touched with the glory of God. And we, and Katie and I can testify, when we went over, lived overseas, the people that came back from America, from West Africa, they were highly esteemed. And the people listened to them. You reach the people here in America, friend, I can assure you, it will have a great impact on the nation that they come from. And I don't know anyone that can get into Somalia right now as a missionary. But here they are in a country that we can freely preach the gospel. Hallelujah. And we can speak to them in our own language. You don't even have to learn their language. We just invite you, Holy Spirit, right now to speak and to minister. Everyone here who has ears to hear is going to hear what you're going to say to them personally. And Lord, let us respond in faith and obedience right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Let's just keep talking to the Lord. I'm going to say one more thing before the worship starts. This isn't for everyone, but I just believe with eyes closed and head bowed, between you and the Lord, there's something that's being impressed upon in your spirit specifically. Now, there could be those here that are already, they're already actively a part of what my wife challenged on. They're already walking in that way, but maybe there's something fresh here tonight that the Lord is speaking. And I want to just encourage, because I really believe in this. I believe that the body is connected to the spirit. If you look at the Hebrew words of praise, they are connected together. The body to the Hebrew reflected the spirit. They were connected together. They were not like the Greek mentality that the mind is just what it is and our bodies don't really matter. But to the Hebrew, there's a response. So I want to encourage, with your head bowed, your eyes closed, if there's someone here, there's a fresh revelation, a fresh burden, there's something that God's placing in your heart, maybe a vision or something that's stirring in you, I want to encourage you right now in the presence of God to stand in his presence as a response to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to obey. If that's you, this is between you and the Lord, but I want an opportunity right now that you have an opportunity to physically make a stand as a declaration of faith. And this, I believe, is something that is tangible. Just as baptism is tangible as an evidence of our confession, there's something about our bodies responding to say, yes, Lord, I'm listening, and I'm going to say yes to this specific thing that you're placing in my heart right now. And I want to give that opportunity right now just to do that. And then after that, every eye's closed, and you're going to sit back down again, because this is between you and the Lord. This is not about anybody else. This is just your personal response. Just respond. If that's you, just if there's something stirring, just a few more seconds here. Just stand in the presence of the Lord and say, yes, I'm listening, God. There's something you're placing in my heart. I'm going to respond. I'm going to say yes to this by faith. It's not something you're going to work it up. It's you're just responding by faith, and you're believing that God is going to bring this thing to pass. Father, I just pray right now for these that are standing. I pray, God, for a grace to be released right now into their lives in Jesus' name. Father, your grace is sufficient for them. Father, they confess their weakness to you. They cannot do it in their own ability, but you will be strong in their weakness in the name of Jesus. And so, Father, I bless these right now. And we declare your lordship over these things that you have put in their hearts and their minds, and it will not be taken. But Lord, we believe, even as Paul said, that I committed to you, Lord, that which you are able to hold on to against that day. I am persuaded, Paul said, I am persuaded that, Lord, you are able to keep that which I commit to you. So Lord, we commit it to you right now, whatever you place in the heart, we commit it to you. You, Lord, can bring it to pass. And we're saying yes to you right now in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, we ask you to seal these things. We pray for your protection around the hearts and the minds and the visions that have been released, that it will not be derailed, it will not be distracted, but God, it will be fulfilled in the name of Jesus Christ. And God, that you will bring forth fruit of the earth because of it, God, because of hearts that just simply said yes and believed. Lord, 30, 60, 100-fold. We're asking and we're believing for it right now in Jesus' mighty name. God, let your glory fill Minnesota. Let your glory fill Cloquet, God. Let the knowledge of your glory fill this land as well. Lord, we're believing for this right now, God, for a depth of your spirit to fall in this area, and that, God, your faithful ministers will be sent forth. They'll be thrust forth, as your word declares, laborers into the harvest field. We thank you, Lord God, right now for releasing an anointing upon them in the name of Jesus. Father, the anointing of the Holy Spirit is upon them to break the yoke in Jesus' name, to break every yoke, to proclaim good news to the poor, to bind the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to the captive, recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those that are oppressed, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just bless you. Lord, I pray, Lord, an anointing upon them of mobilization, God. Use them to mobilize others that you're calling to co-labor with them. That it's not going to be manipulated or coerced, but God, it's going to be your Holy Spirit drawing others to them to co-labor with them in the work of the gospel. Thank you for your strategy, God, being released into their spirits right now. You release your strategy, God. It's not the idea or the plan of men or the arm of flesh, but it's the power and the mind of the Spirit that's going to release these revelations. Thank you, Lord. Every eye closed and head bowed. Just sit back down where you are. Praise the Lord. We're just going to keep engaging the Lord right now. Just keep worshiping the Lord. This is holy ground. As Pastor Mike already said, this is holy ground right now. This is a holy place. The Lord is speaking right now. It's something that's real that's taking place. There's going to be eternal fruit born from the responses tonight. It's real. It's really happening. There's going to be lives touched because of tonight, people responding to the voice of the Lord. So, Lord, we give you the glory tonight, God, for what you're doing. We give you praise. We give you honor, Almighty God. You are on the throne, and we exalt you. Who is like our Lord in all the earth? There is no one like you, God. The Lord reigns forever and ever and ever and ever, and no one will ever usurp your authority. You have all dominion, all majesty, all power is in you, O God. There is nothing and there is no one who will ever compare with you. You alone are the creator. You alone are exalted in majesty. You alone are the I am. You are the self-existent one. Your name is Yahweh, and we worship you tonight. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob. The God who even has the Lord has moved beyond his covenant with Israel, O God, to bring your covenantal promises to us who are non-Jewish, God, to the nations. We enter in. We are the ones that have been grafted onto the vine, God, and we rejoice that you are our King, that you are our Lord, and that you are our friend and our Father. We're so privileged and honored to know you tonight, God. We're so honored to be given and granted the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We're so grateful, Lord, that we're no longer yoked to a spirit of bondage and fear. Hallelujah! But we are free, because who the Son sets free is free indeed. We're so thankful, Lord God, is for freedom's sake that Christ has set us free. We are free. We are free from the cares of this world. We are free from the fear of man. We are free, God, from all of the rat chase, all of the rat race in this world. And we now know what our lives are purposed for, and that is for your glory and to fulfill your will for our lives. That we would stand before you and we could hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into your rest. Great is your reward. Enter into the joy of your Lord. God, we are so honored to know that if we call upon your name, we've repented of our sins. The Holy Spirit has sealed us until the day of redemption. And we're so grateful tonight, God, that you have written our names in the book of life. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are sojourners in this earth. And God, we want to be faithful in this hour. This is an hour like none other. And we want to be faithful in this hour, God. We don't want to be distracted. We don't want to be those, oh God, as you said, that are consumed with the cares of this world and the thorns choke out the fruitfulness. No, Lord God, we want to be good soil. We want to reproduce, God, in the earth and be able to bring forth those 5 or those 10 talents, however many you have entrusted to us. So, Lord, have your way as we close this time in worship. Have your way with us, oh God. Have your way with us, oh Lord. Release a greater fire in the hearts of your people and a greater determination than ever before to be faithful to death. And Lord God, to declare and to personify the reality that Jesus is Lord. We worship you tonight in unity together. We respond in worship together. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name.